Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. We'll be in Philippians tonight. Philippians chapter 2. We will be having a teen activity this Saturday. We'll be meeting here at the church at 8:50 a.m. And we'll be going to Cornerstone Baptist Church together as a group. And we'll be there till from about 10:30 to 3:30 p.m. There'll be lunch and a lot of preaching provided there. So any teens that are going there, please be here at church at 8:50 a.m. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll be reading from verses 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. The Bible says this: "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." If you're in here tonight as a born-again Christian, you need to keep pushing forward. And that's the title of my sermon tonight, is Keep Pushing Forward. Jesus said that in the last days, sin would abound and the hearts of many would grow cold. If you take a close look at our churches all over America, you see that a lot of them are growing cold. And that's because of two simple things, simple reasons. Number one is because of sin. Jesus said that in the last days, sin would abound. As Christians, we need to be watchful for that and not let sin abound in us. Number two is because there is no love in our churches. Remember now, it was the love of God, for God so loved the world that he sent, he gave his only begotten son to this world to die on the cross for us. There's no love. And like I said, as a Christian, you need to guard your heart from sin and avoid your heart from turning cold. Now, there could be times when you start to go through a hard time in your life. You know, things aren't going as you planned. You don't have enough money to pay the bills. You don't get the job or position you were expecting to get. You're having family problems. All of that, it happens. It just because we're Christian doesn't mean that there's not going to be any problems in our life. All that stuff happens in the Christian life. And all those things can hold us back from pushing forward towards Christ. But when these negative things in our life start happening, that is when we need to say, you know what, I'm just going to keep pushing forward. And I'm going to keep on moving forward towards the things of God. Let's go ahead and jump into our first point for tonight. Let's go to verse 12. Point number one is work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Let me read verses 12 and 13. The Bible says this: "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let's look at verse 12 there. The Apostle Paul tells us to work out our own salvation. This does not mean, folks, I know it can sound like it, but this doesn't mean to work for our salvation. He's not saying work for your salvation. He's saying work out our salvation. There's a big difference. If you see, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. A very, very familiar verse, a very famous verse. if you know your Bible, you know this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible says in these verses that we are saved by grace through faith, and that it is not of yourselves, okay? You don't go to heaven by doing good things, okay? By doing good works, that's not how you go to heaven. It's through grace, through faith. Notice also, it says it is the gift of God. He says right there in verse 8, he says, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When he says it is the gift, he's talking about a gift there. That's what gets you saved. Receiving and trusting in that gift, okay, that God has given you. Now, what is it, what is that gift? John 3:16 tells us that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Jesus Christ is that gift. He's that gift of eternal life. If we keep on going there in verse 9 in Ephesians chapter 2, he says the Bible says that it is not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't go to heaven by doing good things, by doing good works. When the Apostle Paul encourages us to work out our salvation, he is talking about working hard for the Lord. He says, do it in fear and trembling. You're already saved. Amen. You don't work for your salvation. You work out your salvation. You put work. You're already saved. You put work into your salvation. Why? Because you need to grow. That's what he's saying right there. He's not saying to work for yourself. Work out your salvation. Work hard for the Lord. Whether that be spiritually or physically. Work hard for the Lord. If you're in here tonight and you say, "Brother Carlos, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know that the day I die, I'm going to go to heaven." Well, amen. That's good. Now work out your salvation. Work in your spiritual life. In your physical life. Put in work into it. Put some work into it. Spiritually, meaning that you read your Bible and pray. That's another way of working out your salvation. Reading your Bible and praying. Now, I know I say this almost every time I preach, but I think I have to, because there's a lot of Christians that don't do that. Okay, I might sound like a broken record, but that's all right. I remember my youth pastor, he was a Hispanic guy. He didn't know much English. But he would preach hard, but he would preach the same sermon every Wednesday night in youth group. I remember the same sermon. I still remember the sermon, and he's the reason why I got saved. He literally preached that for the 4 years that I was in the youth group. It was Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus was talking about the people that were trusting in their works, and he told them to depart from me. I don't know you. I remember he kept preaching that every Wednesday. And I got saved through that. I remember him saying it clearly. I thought I was saved, but in reality, I was trusting in my works. I was trusting in the fact that I had a set of prayer. And I was trusting in the fact that my parents were faithful church members, always going to church. And it's not like that. It's by putting your trust in Christ. Not in what you've done or what your family's doing, but your trust in Christ. Work in your spiritual life. Amen. Read your Bible and pray. Take some time throughout the week and say, you know what, these 5 minutes, I'm just going to read my Bible and pray. Just 5 minutes. Amen. Some people, they can't do 5 minutes. You know, the world, social media, all TikTok, all that stuff, it has programmed our minds to not be able to focus, not even 5 minutes. Did you know that? If you notice, okay, those TikTok videos, and they're all over the place. They're on Facebook, they're on YouTube now. On YouTube, they're called shorts, okay? Every time I'm on YouTube and I find myself on shorts, I remind myself this is poison, and I get out of YouTube. Why? Because those videos, they program your mind to have a short, what is it called, attention span? Yeah, there you go. That's what that stuff does. That's why our teenagers, they can't focus, they can't pay attention. If you notice, they're always on their phone. They always got to be doing something on their phones. Why? Because they're just programming them. They're brainwashing them. That's what it is. And a lot of them, they don't see that right now. But when they're older, they're going to notice, hey, I got a problem. Or, hey, I'm addicted to this thing, this cell phone thing right here. All that stuff, folks, that's why I even say just 5 minutes. Just take some time. Just start low. If you're not the type of person that likes to read and you're not into that stuff, you don't like reading, just start off low, 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes out of your day. 5 minutes. It's not going to hurt you. Work out your salvation. Work in your spiritual life. Take some time to pray. You know, it's sad. I was hearing Kevin Wynn, my favorite preacher of all time, favorite missionary. And he was just emphasizing the fact about when Jesus said, ye have not because ye ask not. Just imagine that. Okay, say Bill Gates was in here right now. Okay, no, not Bill Gates. He's not the richest guy no more. Elon Musk. I think he's the richest guy right now. Say Elon Musk was in here, and he was, and he's sitting here, and for some reason he feels like giving money, and he writes one of you guys a $10 million check. Man, you would start going crazy. Yeah, woo! I got a $10 million check. Man, what am I gonna do now with this? But the reality is, we have something better than Elon Musk writing us a $10 million check. We have God that is willing to give us what we need and ask of Him. Ye have not because ye ask not. You can go in your own room, have your own time with God, and just pray, and God is listening to you. He's listening to you. About 2 hours ago, I was talking with Dante's, and he texted me here a message. It was very encouraging. Let me see if I could find it here real quick. This is what he said. He said, I'm glad you're back over here as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you answered our prayers. And then he says this, they always hear you when you pray, Carlos. Never forget that. That was so encouraging. You know, God hears you when you pray. Even if you take 5 minutes, God hears you when you pray. The God that created the world, He created everything. The Creator, He listens to you when you pray. And it's sad that a lot of Christians don't take advantage of praying to the Lord. Our God is God, and He is the only God. We have the true God. Amen. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out physically, meaning that you take time to serve the Lord, whether you be in church or going out to share the gospel. Amen. You can work out your salvation doing that as well. There's so many things to do around here in Vision Baptist Church. There's a lot of things. I'm actually just, now that I just joined here on staff, there's a few things that I want to straighten up, that I want to organize. I'm really big on order and everything being organized. And I try to control myself because I don't want to jump the gun either. But and the few things that I can organize, I like to organize those things. And I'm noticing there's a lot to do around here in the church. You know, maybe you could take up a small ministry here in the church. Maybe you could sign up for cleaning the church. You could work out your salvation with fear and trembling by we're serving the Lord, cleaning the church. Or you might decide to finally come out and share the gospel with people. That's one of the best ones. And look, I don't like to confuse soul winning as a ministry too much. That's more of a calling. Look, a ministry is when you're either teaching to the bus kids, you're out preaching, you're song leading, you're doing something in the church. Soul winning, folks, some people like to say, oh, soul winning is not my ministry. No, soul winning is a calling for every Christian. Amen. That's for every Christian. Okay, don't mix your ministry here in church with soul winning. Say, oh, no, that's not my ministry. Soul winning isn't my ministry. No, That's a calling, folks. We're commanded to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And work out your salvation through fear and trembling physically. If you notice at the end of verse 12, he says, with fear and trembling. I've been saying that. That basically means that you need to take God serious. That's what it means. God is not someone you should be playing around with. Church is not something you should be playing around with. I'll see if I'm coming to church this Wednesday. Or I'll see if I'm coming to church on Sunday morning or on Sunday night. No. You need to take the house of God serious. You need to take God serious. It's not something to be playing around with. Your salvation is not something you should be playing around with. Okay? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's go to point number two. Don't be complaining or arguing. You know, it's funny that God put these verses here in the Bible because that happens a lot here in churches. People equals problems. I heard a pastor told me that, and that's very true. The more people you have in your church, the more problems you're probably going to have in your church. Kevin Wynn, he has over 20,000 in attendance. Every time he's done preaching in his Sunday morning service, he goes straight to his office, and there's a line of people. Imagine 20,000 people. There's a line of people waiting outside his office, and he gives everybody 5 minutes to tell them what's going on, what they need help with. He's a great man of God. He takes time. That's what the Lord's blessed him. He's a man of character. He takes time with his people. And after his preaching, he's there in his office for about 3 hours working with this long line of people. But why was I saying? I got lost there. But anyways, people equal problems. So God had to put this verse in there. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says this. I'm in Ephesians. 14 and 15, the Bible says this. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at verse 14. This verse is pretty self-explanatory. Don't be complaining or arguing in the church. Amen. He says to do all things without murmuring. Don't be those type of people in the church that is always, you know, you're talking bad about something. You're complaining about things in the church. No, don't be that type of person. You know, God didn't save you and put you in this church. By the way, it's God that puts people into the body of Christ. He's the one that he brought you here. Okay. And I never imagined, I've said this multiple times, I never imagined that I'd be working here at Vision Baptist Church. I grew up about 15 minutes away from here. I always thought I was going to go out and serve in a church in California. I don't know where I came up with that, but somehow I came up with that. But it's God that put me here. It's God that put you here. And don't complain about it. God brought you here for a reason. And God's going to do something great with you here at this church. But like I said, he didn't put you in the church just so you could be talking bad about it. Murmurings and disputings, arguing and making up stuff. Let's look at verse 15. He says, so that we might be blameless and harmless like the sons of God without rebuke. He wants us to be blameless. He wants us to be harmless like the sons of God without rebuke. He wants us to be clean. Right? Not be someone. You don't want to be known in the church as somebody you're always saying stuff, something bad about someone in the church, something negative. You don't want to be known like that. You want to be known blameless. So somebody won't come and like sons of God without rebuke. Okay? The word rebuke, I love that word because that word means to criticize sharply. And God commands pastors to rebuke. And sadly, a lot of pastors don't do that anymore. I don't know why. It's sad. But be clean. Don't be somebody that somebody has to come rebuke you. You know, live for the Lord. Be a righteous man. Be a godly young man, a godly young lady. And at the end of verse 15, he says, he wants us to shine as light in the world. Teenagers, please put your phones away. I don't want to see no phones. But he says to shine as light in the world. How can we be shining like light in the world if we're always negative? If we're living in sin, we're talking bad about the same people around in our church. How can we shine as light to this world if we're acting like that? You can't. That's why you need to work at it. Like the sons of God without rebuke, that we might be blameless and harmless. Now let me ask you this. How can a Christian that is always murmuring and complaining and whining and arguing shine as light to this world? They can't. You're not going to be able to be a light in this world if you are constantly living in sin, or you're always complaining about the things of God. You don't like Carlos because now he's taking over the youth group. Or you don't like Jesus because he always sits in the front. I don't know. People just, you complain about everything. Don't be that type of person. Amen? Don't be a blessing. Be positive. Be blameless. God cannot use someone who is always complaining because, oh, it's too hot to go soul winning. That's a good one right there, especially here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be honest, when I came back from college, that's the first thing I started complaining about. Because Golden State was in Santa Clara, it wasn't the hottest it would ever get was probably 100 degrees maybe. And we all know here, it's always 110, it goes to 115 sometimes. It's always hot here, even during the winter, it's hot. In December, it's hot. You can't start a fire or anything because it's always hot here. And I started complaining, man, it's always hot. And then, amen, God put other brothers here in the church and they're just out soul winning in the middle of the heat. Amen. People see that, folks. People see that. Don't be complaining, murmuring, being negative all the time. God wants to do something, amen. I was out soul winning last week. And I ran into a Catholic lady. She's like, why are you out here knocking on doors? It's hot. I said, well, people need to know the truth. And she was very open with me. I gave her the gospel. She says she's already saved. And, people notice. Don't be a complainer. Be someone that says, you know what? I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to do what I got to do. Amen? How can God use someone that's living in sin, or they're just complaining? How can God use us to be a blessing to the bus kids? Some people, they like to complain, oh, well, don't bring those bus kids here to church. They just mess up everything. And they probably do, I'm not going to lie. A lot of them, they don't have parents. A lot of them, they have parents that are homosexuals, and their parents still send them to church. You know, somebody's got to teach them the Bible. I was when we had our first day at junior church, I was in the book of Jude. I like to teach the bus kids doctrine. And usually in a kids class like that, teachers like to teach a story of David and Goliath and all that stuff. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. God put those stories in the Bible for a reason. But I like to tell our kids about the end times. And we were in Jude, and we were going through I think it was verse 23 where it says that in the last days there shall be mockers. And I was telling the kids, hey, in the last days there's going to be mockers. And I kept on putting that word into their head. I said, there's going to be what? And I point at them and they'll yell, mockers, mockers. And I tell them, what's a mocker? And they say, someone that makes fun of Christians. Amen. And I told them, I said, look, when you guys get home, you tell your parents that Jesus is coming soon, and that there's going to be what? And I point at them, and they say, mockers. These are little kids. But I tell them this stuff, so when they get home, they can tell their parents, hey, we learned that Jesus is coming soon. So now their parents, they can't say, oh, no one ever told us about the gospel. Yeah, they did. There was a bus route in your area. They would pick up your kids, They would teach them about the Bible, and your kids would come back and tell you what they learned in church. You heard about Jesus Christ. Folks, no one's going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, I never heard. No, they're lying. They have. Jesus said before he comes back, everybody would have a chance to hear. Okay, amen? And I do that with the kids. I teach them all that stuff. Look, I'm going to be honest. I'm always sweating bullets on the bus route. It's just hot all the time. And I'm full on. I'm wearing a suit. Full on. I'm sweating bullets. I don't like taking it off. I just keep it on. I'm not going to complain about it. God placed me there. I'm going to serve the Lord. A lot of people, people in churches, they just complain too much. Don't be a complainer. Amen. Serve the Lord. Do what God has called you to do. God's going to bless you. You know, keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. Some of you in here tonight, you need to make that commitment to keep pushing forward and to keep on working out your own salvation without complaining or arguing about everything. Some of you need to humble yourself down and you need to stop acting like if you're the king or queen around here. Jesus didn't come to be served as a king. Let's go ahead and look here at let me see here. I lost my spot. Where is it at? Where Jesus came as a humble servant. I know it's in Philippians, but I wrote the wrong verse here. I know it's here. Anybody know where it's at? Where Jesus came? 2:7? Oh, there you go. Yes, sir. There it is. It says this. Verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus came, and he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come here as a king, folks. He came here as a servant. Amen. What kind of example is that? That's an amazing example. Don't come here thinking like you're king, queen. Come here to serve. Amen. Come with the mentality to serve. I'm running out of time here. I probably won't be able to finish all the way, but let's just jump to point number 3. Pushing forward is not in vain. Let's look at verse 16. He says this, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verse 16 says that we are to hold the word of life so that we can rejoice when Christ comes back. Then he says, I have not run in vain, nor have I labored in vain. Let me tell you something, folks. We are not running in vain, neither are we laboring in vain. Maybe right now we can't see all the rewards and treasures and souls that God has used us to save and see them in heaven one day. But one day we will. One way we don't. It's not in vain, folks. It's not in vain. And maybe sometimes it does feel like if nothing's happening when we work for the Lord. But behind the scenes, God is doing something. He's always doing something. God is working. I remember Kevin Wynn, missionary Kevin Wynn, one of the most successful missionaries that I know of my time. As a young man, he went out, American young man, and he went to Mexico. And he says that for the first 4 years, right now everybody talks about him. The Lord's used him greatly. But he never mentions about he never talks about the first 4 years when he was out in the mission field. And the first 4 years, he never got any baptisms. He was so discouraged. He felt like quitting. But you know what? He kept pushing forward. He reminded himself that his work was not in vain. He kept pushing forward. And for those first 4 years, no baptisms. If you go to his church now, every Sunday, and I know this sounds crazy, but every Sunday service, he has more than 200 baptisms every Sunday. They built a huge baptistry, bigger, I think it's bigger than this. And, He's got like 40 assistant pastors, and they're all in there and they're baptizing people because it's just too much people. And the Lord's using them greatly. He pushed forward and he remembered that his work was not in vain. Folks, don't quit. Keep pushing forward. Maybe you're going through a hard time in your life. That happens. And God's letting that happen. He wants to show you something. He wants to work something through that situation. Keep working. Keep pushing forward. Keep serving the Lord. Keep living for the Lord. It's not in vain. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer.